Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Tonight, I have such an incredible guest with us. On the line, I have Ben Perry. Ben Perry is an author, a filmmaker, a website designer, and a waiter. A man who at age 50 found himself in the position of having to reinvent himself time and time again. After 31 years in and around the credit, collections, and counseling industries, he literally walked away from his nonprofit credit counseling service organization for what he calls ethical and heartfelt reasons. His motto is simple: we are put on this planet to help others, period. I'll let him go into as many details as he wishes with regard to my introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, let's chat with Ben Perry. Thank you, Ben. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. What a lovely introduction. I have something for you to add to that, too, by the way, because we're talking about wellness and health and healing and things. I'm a recent vegan, and I don't know if any of your listeners are vegan or not, but I'm not here to proselytize. I'm just sharing that with you, and it's made a big difference. I'm feeling healthier and happier and more energetic, and I don't know. It's a good thing. It works for me. Let's just say that.
What made you transition?
Interesting. I'm studying to become a massage therapist, a licensed massage therapist, and that's another thing, I guess.
Wow, you're
anyway,
jack of all trades.
Yeah, master of none for sure. And I'm actually going to one of the finest massage schools in the entire country. It's called Irene's Myomassology Institute. It's just phenomenal. And we had a course, and it was talking about food science, basically. And the instructor, Dr. Carrie Saunders, who's a wonderful author, wrote the Vegan Diet, which is a guide to, The Vegan Diet as Chronic Disease Prevention. And ironically, that day that we were having that class and she was instructing, I got sick. And I bought her book, and while I was sick, I read her book, and the things in there that are written about what we do to our food and our dairy products just kind of turned me off, and it turned me on to veganism, and here I am. 2 months later, lost about 20 pounds, and
oh, wow.
I feel great. You know, as they say on the infomercials, of course, your results may vary, but I'm just loving it, and if it wasn't for that course and Dr. Saunders, I would have never heard about it, or the school that I'm going to. So thank you, everybody at Irene's, for having that course. And, yeah, that's it. That's how I got into it.
Well, it sounds
I don't think you want me to share with you all of the morsels of information because, you know, especially if people haven't eaten their supper yet.
They might, yes. We don't, if they're eating while they're listening, they might not be able to handle it.
Exactly.
I can only imagine what happens to our food or what is done to our food. What Mary Kay in the chat room asked, what does the vegan diet consist of?
Well, it's plant-based. So it's everything that I never ate before as a carnivore. For 60 years, I managed to live my life eating meat and poultry and dairy. But it consists of plant-based foods, so greens and vegetables and fruits and all different kinds of protein-providing entities like farro and quinoa, which until I became a vegan, I was calling it quinoa, just like the commercial. And you learn to create things while you're going through the process, and you start seasoning things, and all the vegetables and things that I never ate before started to taste good. Maybe it's because I wasn't eating ice cream or meat or anything like that. But, yeah, that's it. It's a plant-based diet. And, you know, there's so much online if you just want to find out about the vegan lifestyle. And it was, for me, it was very easy to make that. Well, it wasn't even a transition. It was immediate. I just read the book, and I got turned off, and I got turned on to the vegan. And I just I really believe, and I know this might sound trivial to say, but I think any decisions that you make in your life, I mean, your brain power is so that you can do whatever you put your mind to doing. I believe that in any projects, in any health-related issues, any psychological issues, emotional situations. I really believe that. And so I just made up my mind. It's funny because a buddy of mine years ago, actually in 2009, he lost a lot of weight. And I asked him how he lost so much weight. And he said he cut out pop. They call it pop here in Detroit, which is the right way to call it. But they call it soda on the East Coast. And I said, well, that was amazing. And I saw some pictures of me at my son's college graduation. And I thought, wow, I'm going to cut out soda pop. And that was May 27th, 2009. I just keep dates like that in my head for some reason. And I haven't had a drop of it since, and I never missed it. And the same thing is happening now with me, with the vegan diet. I do not miss a hamburger. I do not miss a steak that's advertised on TV for some steakhouse. It's just, and funny enough, I work as a waiter in an Italian restaurant that features a lot of meats and seafood, and doesn't bother me a bit. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just when I
think
decided
it's
product.
You make
that
a lifestyle change, yes, and you decide,
yeah, and
okay, this is, your body doesn't crave it.
Exactly, and it's funny because my son, I think my son and other people said, well, you know, talk to me about it after 6 months. I said, okay. You know, after 6 months, I may lose 100 pounds, which probably wouldn't be good because I only weigh 170 right now. But, yeah, I mean, it's 2 months and a bit, and
wow.
Never felt better, really. Really really has done wonders for my head, my heart, my health, and everything else. You can ask anybody that's near me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
tell us about your financial background. How did you get involved in that?
Well, my family, my mom and dad, started a business called Credit Counselors Corporation in 1975, which predates probably many of your listeners. And when I talk about the 70s, I may be old, but I'm not talking about the 1870s, folks. So, you know, give me a little bit of a break. But they started a company called Credit Counselors Corporation in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And the whole mission of it was to help people get out of debt. And the way they started it was my dad helped a dear friend of his out of debt, whom he moved down to Florida with from Michigan. We're speaking from Michigan. I moved back to Detroit in 2005. Anyway, so my dad helped his friend get out of debt, and the two of them put their heads together because they were planning on moving to Florida anyway, and they wanted to do some kind of business together. And the friend said, and I won't mention his name, but he's still my dad's best friend and one of my best friends. So why don't we do this for other people? Let's help other people get out of debt. And they looked into the regulations and the laws and everything. And they started this credit counseling business. And it was a free consumer service. And the way that was free was they negotiated payments on behalf of their clients, our clients, and once they sent the payments to the creditors then in turn gave a contribution because it was a nonprofit organization. So we could afford to help these people get out of debt free of charge. And, you know, it was a game changer. It was a game changer in the industry. I joined the company on February 1st, 1980, and was there until 2002. And in the interim, in the months between that, I had a chance to be a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And that was actually on October 19th, 1987. And the reason I'm only good with that date is because that was the day the stock market crashed. So, so you know, certain numbers, certain dates you remember for that reason. I mean, not everybody remembers when they quit drinking soda pop, but I guess that's something about me. I like dates or whatever. But I was on their show, on her show, and our business absolutely skyrocketed right after that show. We had actually, she had something like 3,000 phone calls a day asking how to get in touch with Credit Counselors Corporation, and we had a toll-free number, and they couldn't give out the number on the air because they said that would be doing an advertisement and it would sound like they were pushing our service. They actually regretted not putting it out because their office staff had to field all those calls for a couple weeks. And then that's what really put us on the map, and we became a national service. And over the course of that 22 years that I was there, we helped hundreds of thousands of people get out of debt, not just, you know, face-to-face, but, you know, through the mail.
What did you find? Was there a common, like, debt that each person had? Was there something similar, or did you find everybody had different types of debt?
Well, we dealt primarily with credit card debt and medical debt. And, you know, there weren't too many. Well, there were some that had finance companies and small loans and things like that. Very few student loans, actually, because they never handed those over to collection agencies back then. They do now. But primarily credit card debt. And, you know, everybody's situation is different. Anybody could get into debt. And that's what people don't realize. You know, some people think, well, you know, you have to have money to get in debt, or what, you know, if you don't have money, you get in debt. I mean, anybody can get into debt. That's basically the point I'm trying to make. And one person's, you know, $1,000 debt is $1 million to somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a relative issue depending on your income. So we had one client that had $238,000 in credit card debts to 38 credit cards. Yep, almost a quarter of $1 million that they owed. But, you know, that's a big number, but they were big income earners too. So people live beyond their means, no matter what their means might happen to be. And so we saw and spoke to people from all walks of life. I mean, neurosurgeons we had as clients. We had people that were teachers, a lot of teachers, because when you become a teacher, you're a pillar of society, and the credit card companies throw credit card applications right at you. And that was back in the days when they just sent them unsolicited. I think they've tapered back on that, but still, you'll still see people getting credit card offers right and left.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it was I still, with this book, I still help people get out of debt. Basically, the reason I wrote the book was, after 22 years in the industry, came to the realization that, you know something, people don't need credit counselors to get out of debt. They can get themselves out of debt. And I just show them in my book, and I don't mean to be a shameless plug here, but if I can say the name of it.
Oh, yes, definitely. Please tell our listeners the name of the book, where they can get it, everything, please.
Okay. It's called Escape from the Plastic Prison, which is a practical guide to getting yourself out of debt. And the reason I say that anybody can get themselves out of debt is because, first of all, there's no debtor's prison in America. People are intimidated by bill collectors all the time, and they think, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to jail if I don't pay this bill. That's nonsense. That's not going to and never will happen, not in America. So that's the first thing they have to know. The reason I say that you don't need a credit counselor in this country is because I sort of liken it to a mechanic. I don't know anything about fixing my car. If I have trouble with my car, I take it to a mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I go to a technical school that teaches how to become a mechanic, then I'll know how to become a mechanic. So I decided I'm going to show people how they can do it for themselves. And that's exactly what I did. And that probably will make a lot of that statement. That's the first statement in this book is you do not need a credit counselor to get yourself out of debt. And that will probably tweak a few people out there. But, and I really don't care, because I'm all about helping everybody. And as you said in the introduction, and that's why we're here. We're here to help people whenever we can. You know, pull them up by their bootstraps and show them the way to peace of mind whenever you can. So
yes.
So that's why I wrote this. And I'm real proud of the fact that I wrote it in early 2011. I self-published it. And in April, I think it was April or May of 2011, I won Best How-To Book at the San Francisco International Book Festival. So out of several hundred books that they read and reviewed, they named this the Best How-To Book. So I'm real proud of that.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. I was going to get some stickers for it, but I couldn't afford them at the time, which is a little ironic, I guess. But, yeah, and it's the good thing about it is I self-published it through CreateSpace, which is a marvelous company. If anybody's written a book or anything that they want to publish themselves, I highly recommend them. Those people over there are so helpful. They guide you through the process all the way. And there's no, you don't have any storage fees or anything like that to pay. You just submit the form on an electronic format, a PDF. And it's a book by order, I guess they call it. So if someone orders the book, you get your royalty, they get their cut, and you don't have to do anything. They send it, they ship it, and you just, you know. So anybody who's out there has a story to tell or wants to help somebody by writing a book, don't let the fact that you have to have a major publisher pick you up, you know, daunt you. To get this book, you just have to go to createspace.com slash and the number 357-4280. And if you do, if people want to order the book, I have a discount code. It kind of sounds like I'm saying, but wait, if you order now, you get a set of Ginsu steak knives and a bamboo steamer. But it's not quite all that. It's a $5 discount, but that can offset the shipping cost that you pay by ordering it through them. So, let me see if I can remember it. It's J like Judy, U like under. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I want to make sure I do it. No, I'll find it. No, okay. I'll give it out later. Okay?
What do you find one of the biggest mistakes people do to start getting into debt?
They don't know when to stop with their, you know, if they get an application, they fill it out, and if they get the credit granted, and then they get another one and another one and another one, and it has a snowball effect. JU9Z2F, like Frank, 8, and the number S. JU9Z2F8S. Sorry, that's the discount number.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have that memorized. I do, actually. That's the biggest problem. They're inundated with these credit card applications and pre-approvals, and they feel like, wow, that's great. You know, I'm pre-approved. I must have great credit. And then they get 2 and 3 and 5 and 8 and 10 and 20, and it just goes on and on from there. And it's once you get to that point, it's hard, but there's one way and one way alone to start getting out of debt. There is only one way in the universe, and that is sit down and cut your credit cards into little pieces, cold turkey, speaking of vegan. That's the first step. And if somebody's willing to take that first step, then they're well on their way to getting themselves out of debt. Absolutely no question about it. And it's all downhill from there. I mean, it's not as hard as you might think. I teach you how to talk to bill collectors. I teach you when to talk to bill collectors and when not to, how not to be baited into a conversation. And I've had personal experience with debt. So it's not like I'm just, you know, preaching. I am part of the choir, you know. I actually filed for bankruptcy myself.
There's a time to talk to bill collectors, and there's a time not to speak to bill collectors and what to say. That's really – I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, and it's – the problem is that most people are not aware that there are laws on the books, federal legislation to protect people from predatory lenders and from vicious bill collectors. And there are. It's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and it was originated on March 20th, 1972, but they keep updating it, and they keep updating the bankruptcy laws too. And if people knew the laws that were on the books to protect them, then they wouldn't be so frightened from phone calls by bill collectors. Some of them that I'd like to share is the times of day that they're allowed to call. First of all, a bill collector is only allowed to call you by law once a week. So if they call you on Wednesday, they can't call you on Monday because a weekend was in between. They have to wait until the following Wednesday to make that call. They cannot call you before 8 o'clock in the morning. They cannot call you after 9:30 at night. They cannot call you more than once a day. They cannot call you at your job if you inform them not to. And when I say inform them not to, I'm saying do it in writing. That's the only way. Send a note. Say, I cannot be reached at my job. If you call me on my job, you're putting me in jeopardy, and I'll lose my job, and then I'll never be able to pay you a dime. That's really important. And obviously, verbal abuse is a no-no, but they still do it. And I defy anybody to tell me that they don't. I've heard of it in the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So they do it all the time. And the reason I got into filmmaking was I wrote a script called Past Due, and it's about a bill collector who steps way over the line. And in this film, it's a thriller, actually, and we're hoping to start filming this summer in the Detroit area, by the way.
Wow.
And in this film, we touch on some of the laws that, you know, within the context of the story, of the laws that protect people from bill collectors. It's, by the way, Past Due is starring Eric Roberts. You know who Eric Roberts is?
Oh, yes. He does a lot of films.
Yeah, he does. He's a very busy actor. He's playing the lead character. He's playing the bad guy. And there's a couple other actors in there that are really up and coming, John Wells and Sabrina Scott and Roseanne Nepa. A lot of local actors in Michigan who I've become so fond of who are along this journey with me. So I want to shout out to those folks, too. We're going to make a really important, thrilling movie. It goes above and beyond what does happen, but a lot of what goes on in the boiler rooms of collection agencies around the country are right in there, right in line with it. And anybody wants to challenge me in saying, well, that doesn't happen. I'm sorry, I have over 22 years of hearing horror stories from people that I don't buy it from them. So,
pardon me? Is there a law or is there somewhere you can report a bill collector if they call you before 8 o'clock, if they call you a couple of times a week? Where do you report them? What can you do?
The FTC, FTC.org, that's all you have to do. There are, and it's, again, it's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, FDCPA, and you can actually pull it up and read the whole act. It's pretty lengthy, but it goes into every no-no that's on the books. So I think I can pull it up easily online, but I don't want to stray from our conversation because I'll have ADD.
Why do you
and
think
I don't want to do that.
Why do you think these collectors become, I mean, yes, I know it's part of a job, but why are they so known for being so aggressive and abusive?
There's two reasons, I think. One is because they're in so much hock themselves that they have to take it out on somebody else. And the other reason is, especially if it's a collection agency, and this is something that people probably do not know, but they're mightily aggressive the first time they get the account because they tend to make a larger commission based on the rapidity with which they get the money into the house. So those two reasons and those two reasons alone, most bill collectors that I've ever worked with or spoken with have been in debt themselves. And by golly, they've had that abuse heaped on them, and they're going to turn the table, so to speak, and they're going to get their anxiety out on the people that they're calling. And yeah, I mean, I think those are the two major reasons. It makes sense. Figure this. If you're making 50% of a debt by collecting it in the first 2 weeks, and you're making 10% of it after that, aren't you going to try a little harder as a salesman to get that money in there faster? And that's when they are their nastiest. So if you nip it in the bud, so to speak, then after that, then they probably will get progressively less irritating. No, I shouldn't say that. They'll probably be more irritating because they didn't get their money, but they won't be as vicious in their approach.
Wow. I mean, it's like they get an incentive to harass you.
Yeah, but the collection agency owners won't admit to that. But sure, I mean, it makes sense. If your commission is based on the speed that you drive the money into the house, you're going to think of all kinds of things. And, you know, I'll tell you, they get really creative. I mean, some of the things that they come out with will really, they'll flabbergast you. And I think that's the first time I've used that word in the last 25 years. But flabbergast, that's a great word, you know?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you know, we're going to come and pick up your car. If you don't pay tonight, we're going to come pick up your car tomorrow. Look out in your driveway, because we're going to be there. We're going to have a tow truck. We're going to have Ace Towing come to your house and pull your car out of your driveway. Really? No, you're not. So I used to.
So they technically can't do that, the collections. They can't say, okay, I'm going to come tomorrow morning and tow your car. Because I would believe something like that.
Well,
I would think whatever they're saying is the truth.
Well, not if it's the car. If it's the car company that you owe the money to, then they can, because it's their property until it's paid in full. But if somebody's calling about your Visa bill and saying they're going to come pick up your car or they're going to take you to jail, or no, that's nonsense. Of course they can't. They don't have any right to that vehicle. The only one that does is the one who wrote the loan for you, you know. And if you have a paid in full car, oh, that's even better. That's when they say, oh, yeah, well, we know your car is paid in full, so guess what? We're coming to get it. No, you're not. Who are you kidding, dude, or dudette? And I tell you what, I found that some of the most nasty bill collectors are women.
Huh.
Interesting, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe they're just taking out some of their angst on people. But, yeah, I've worked with some people. I worked for a credit card company in their accounts control department, which is their collections department. And actually the character, the main character in my movie, Past Due, is taken from a guy that I worked with at this company, at this credit card company. He was really bad. I mean, say, you know, get a pencil quickly. Come on, I don't have all day. Write this number down. This is where you send the money. Send it to me now. You know, oh, you have two jobs. Oh, I'm so sorry. We'll get a third job. You know, just kind of that kind of attitude. And off the phone, he was sweet as can be, this guy. He really was. He was a nice guy. And when I hear him talking to debtors, I said, man, what is the matter with you? So I don't know. Maybe you have to have a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde in you to handle that job, because it really is a thankless job if you think about it. Imagine.
Yeah, and a meter maid. You know, the people that do the parking.
Oh, exactly. That's a great analogy.
Truck drivers.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine spending your whole day talking to people who don't want to hear you? I mean, that would be worse than a dentist, you know?
Talk about not feeling good about yourself. Every time they can't stand you and are always screaming at you and telling you horrible things.
Yeah. And, well, wait a minute, man. You don't even know who I am. I'm a great guy. I'm a new vegan. Don't give me a hard time. But,
that's,
you know, we could kid about it a little bit, but I'll tell you what, you talk about mental health and physical health failing from people who are so stressed out about their financial situations. I mean, I've seen people, I haven't seen them directly, but I've heard of clients that have committed suicide over money, over credit cards.
Oh, yes. I've worked with a lot of clients in my private practice that the financial is a huge stressor for depression, suicide ideation.
Yep. And so physical manifestation, mental manifestation, and I mean, it's just, it builds and builds and builds to the point where people just can't deal with it anymore. And that's the main reason why I wrote this book. I don't ever want to hear of anybody committing suicide over personal finances. It just should never, ever have to happen. You're going to let a stranger or strangers end your life? Because that's basically what's happening. You're so stressed out because you're being overwhelmed by these calls that you can't take it anymore. And instead of just hanging up the phone and figuring how not to worry about it, you do yourself in. Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't stand that idea. So that's the reason I wrote this book, and it's the reason I wrote the film, ultimately, was because I want to pass along really valuable information to people.
Yes, I'm wondering if there's any repercussions for bill collectors who have harassed someone, especially if you're dealing with someone who already has mental health issues prior to this, of anxiety, and then they have this person harassing them, and they can't take it anymore. I'm wondering if that will ever come to a time when there can be charges brought against them for triggering this or being somewhat, negligent. Mm.
Well, if it ever did happen, it sure would change the landscape of the collection world. But I just doubt it, because how could you prove it,
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, a surviving family member who might say, he was so upset about his credit situation, he even, in his note, he said this and this person called, and maybe it was too late to get that information out to save his own life, but I'd love to see it happen, actually. I really would.
Yes, and as a therapist, I hear a lot of times with my clients, this really, triggers them. And I hear a lot lately, I don't know if it's something that's going on with the government, but a lot of people are getting contacted that they owe the IRS money. Is this something new going on? Because it wasn't a couple of years ago. Now it seems like I speak to a lot of people and they're getting these notices they owe IRS $20,000 and back payments and doing this and that. And it's really stressful for people who don't have money as it is to say, here you owe the IRS $20,000.
I don't know if it's more prevalent now as it is more public, more visible. I mean, everything is a click away now, So maybe you feel like you're hearing it more because more and more people are being more upfront about their situations, which is good. I would encourage that. If you need to talk to a therapist about it. I mean, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on radio, but I would certainly recommend that you take that issue to a therapist and get help for it. I talk in this book a lot about the mental anguish that goes along with this and why you shouldn't allow it to happen. Although you can't legislate that. You can't dictate to somebody, hey, don't let it bother you. You can say it's illegal. For it to bother you is a horrible thing. People need to know that their rights are protected, and one of them is a right to privacy too. You can't call me on my job incessantly. If you bring an action against a creditor, and a major one, for something like that, they can lose up to 1% of their total net worth if they lose that lawsuit to you, and those creditors know it. So you put them on notice. You write them a letter, and there's a whole series of letters to write to creditors in here to protect yourself from abuse.
And where do you find those letters in your book?
Yes.
What
yeah,
type
they're
of
all
letters
in here.
To write? Okay.
Well, and it's not just about abuse. I mean, people become in debt because of other issues. You know, a medical situation comes up that they can't handle, and there's a letter in there to write asking them to reduce the bill or eliminate it as a hardship. You know, there's a hardship letter here for non-medical issues. You know, if you had a job that was paying you $90,000 a year and then you lost it and now you're working as a waiter, which I'm familiar with, which, by the way, is the most noble profession in the world. If I maintain that anybody who ever goes out to eat at a restaurant should be made to be a server for 2 weeks in a row in his life, 2 weeks straight, let me say that. I say 2 weeks in a row, and if my dad's listening to this show, he'll castigate me. So, because two does not constitute a row. Anyway, let's not go there. But do I have issues or what? Help me, Doc.
No.
But yes, because there's so much to that. If you can be a waiter or a waitress, bless you, because you can handle any job. That is the most highly multitasking business in the world. And you have so many things that you're juggling in your head and the people don't even realize it. So yes, but it's not a very good paying job. So that's why I was saying, you know, if you're making $90,000 a year and now you're relegated to being a server, then your income that's being generated is so much less that, you know, you may need a helping hand. And I actually have letters in here that you can specify to your situation that will ask for forbearance or, you know, just 90 days where you can just have a break from it, or asking them to lower their interest or eliminate their interest. And these are all things that are doable. You just have to have the tools, you know.
Yes.
If I knew how to change spark plugs, I wouldn't spend $150 on labor to have them installed. I'd put them in myself. And I keep saying that about mechanic because I'm just so non-mechanically inclined.
Me too.
I'm getting better technically, you know, IT-wise, you know, but I you open up a hood for me and, you know, it could be a Stutz Bearcat or a Ford Escort and I wouldn't know the difference. That's really bad, isn't it?
What do you think about couples? Because I see a lot of couples who, with the finances and financial difficulties, really tear them apart.
It's the number one reason for divorce in this country. Did you know that?
I didn't know it was definitely up there.
Yeah, it's number one, and it's a couple's inability to deal with their credit situation. And I will tell you this: for the most part, when we were doing the credit counseling, the person that made contact with us first was 99.99% of the time the woman. Because a guy can be in debt and never let on to it. He would never tell his next-door neighbor he was having financial trouble. First of all, his neighbor wouldn't want to hear it because he's probably in the same boat. But it's just, I don't know if it's a ego thing, it's a macho thing, or whatever it is. But guys, just, you know, keep that a big secret. And so I've had couples literally come to blows in my office, fisticuffs, literally.
Wow.
Like, I didn't know you had a $3,000 American Express account. I didn't know you had this account. I didn't know you had that account. And once the smoke clears a little bit and the fur stops flying, then we have to say, okay, folks, it is what it is. Okay, now is this going to end your marriage, or are you going to figure out a way to come together and work through it? But, you know, it's not, as I said, nobody's exempt from it. So couples, yeah. Single people, poodles, French poodles. When I was working for this credit card company, they accidentally sent a credit card with an unlimited credit availability to a French poodle.
Oh my God!
I'm not kidding you. Fifi Goldstein or whatever. But
Fifi
but
was
it was
one happy,
you know, and
poodle.
I guess they found out that they had a poodle. And oh, you know something, I have a great story to tell you. Talking about credit, I got a notice from, let's see, I can't remember who it was, but I got a letter that said, it has come to our attention that you have not gotten insurance for your Yamaha. And if you don't get insurance for it soon, we are going to do something to you. I can't even remember the situation, but all I remember was the Yamaha that they were referring to was not a motorcycle, it was a piano. So I wrote them back and I said, look, you know, why do I have to have insurance for my Yamaha? Well, you know, because if you're, you know, you have to get uninsured motorist and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, but my Yamaha is a upright piano. And it was like the silence on the other end of the phone was deafening. I said, what do I have to get, like, I have to get liability insurance in case it falls out of the second story of my apartment and lands on somebody in the courtyard? And then they finally got it. But, I mean, so these kind of letters and insisting insults, you know, fly freely, but it's because there's so much misinformation out there and the credit bureaus, and don't get me started on credit bureaus and credit reporting agencies now, because that's a whole show unto itself. But there's people out there that, you know, say they can fix your credit, and there's only one way to fix your credit, and that's by paying your bills or working out a range.
You would strongly recommend do not start doing these credit bureau companies to fix your bills. Really research and speak to some professionals before entering any agreement or contract with some person who wants to fix your credit.
What I would say is I wouldn't even enter into a conversation with any professional if you can do it yourself. And you truly can. You do not need a lawyer to get you out of debt. First of all, you're paying exorbitant rates to a lawyer. Well, you know, your creditors are going to say, how can you afford a lawyer? You know, you can't pay your bills, but you're getting a lawyer. Talk to my lawyer and all that. No, you don't. Before you do that, try to do it yourself. And I'm not, you know, I'm not, it sounds like I'm hawking my book, and I'm really not. I'm really not. I'm just, I mean, if somebody calls me, I'll guide them personally and directly. I just don't want to see people spending money in the wrong place, especially when it comes to trying to get themselves out of debt.
In more debt by trying to find out who can help them get out of debt.
Well, exactly. And you know, I can't even remember what the number is now, but there's something like 68 million people in this country alone who are over their heads in debt. And I'm talking about debt besides their fixed living expenses like rent and food and utilities and car payments and whatever. That's a huge number. And that's why credit counseling companies will hate if my book gets out there. They'll just hate it because it's going to cut into their profits. You know, when we started our business, and the reason I walked away from it, and I think this is a good segue, is it was totally free to the debtor. We helped them get out of debt free. And our thinking was, how can you help somebody get out of debt by giving them a bill every month? Well, every credit counseling company that's out there now charges a monthly fee. They call it a contribution. Nonsense. It's a fee. It's costing you $45, $50 a month. Well, how is that going to help you if you're given another debt to worry about? And so when it came time, when the industry changed and it turned into a collection, it turned into a sales industry, that's when I walked away from it in 2002. I said, you know something, I'm not going to conform. I'm not going to charge my clients a fee. And by not doing that, our contribution level got so low from the creditors because there were so many agencies that were charging a fee. They figured, well, why don't, you know, they didn't need to support us anymore. And I just, that's when I opted out. I said, you know what, I'm out of here. And maybe someday I'll write a book. And 9 years later, I did. And that's where you have Escape from the Plastic Prison. But you don't have to, if you want to buy the book, you don't have to go to Create Space. But I'm just saying, if you do, it's $5 off. And I don't know. I mean, that'll help you.
It sounds like an amazing book and really well needed, because I think so many people are in the dark about debt, about, and it's also something people don't want to talk about. There's guilt, there's shame, anxiety around it. So sometimes denying it and acting like maybe it'll go away is what a lot of people do, but really just builds the debt more and more. And I know I always have heard this advice, is that when you're dating someone and getting engaged and planning on marrying them, to always check out their credit ratings and their credit history, because it might not be romantic, but when you get married to them and if they're in debt, guess whose debt that becomes?
Well, it doesn't become your debt unless it's a joint account, so that's a misnomer too. But you'd like to know if you're getting involved with somebody who's in debt, absolutely. And the thing about it is, excuse me, creditors don't want you to pay your bills, really. They don't want to, let me take a sip of water here, excuse me. It behooves them for you to continue owing them money, because whatever you purchased that cost $100 last year, by the time you finish paying it off, it's going to be $300-something with all the interest that accrues. So it's kind of like a fine line between them harassing you to pay the bill, but yeah, you know, just take your time. Take your time paying it back, because, you know, over time, you're going to be spending so much more money on that. And a debt that's, say, $11,000, by the time you pay it off over years and years and years, you're up to $50,000.
Oh, wow.
It's a game. It's a vicious circle, and it's a scary thing. But it doesn't have to be if you know the ropes and if you know how to play the game and things are on an even keel, you know. As long as you're on the same playing field, you might as well have the advantage of knowing the truth that protects you, and that's really basically what this whole book is about, you know.
I agree. What do you recommend for someone who doesn't have any debt, who's starting out, and they want to get a credit card? Do you think maybe one credit card? Because sometimes people have 4 credit cards, 5 credit cards. Is there like a number that's safe and a number that says, okay, you're definitely, be worried, you're crossing the line?
Well, it's all based on your ability to pay it back. If you can pay back a credit card every month in full, then I would get one of the major ones. But if you can't, if you're just starting out and it's kind of like a cart before the horse, or a card before the course, if you will. If you're just trying to get your first credit card, it might not be a bad idea to, when they tell you at JCPenney, you know, if you put it on a credit card, you know, you get a discount immediately, and just all you have to do is apply for it. Maybe a credit card like that, or a gasoline credit card, just to get yourself up to it. But ideally, you would want to have one gasoline card and one major card. But it's okay. So hard after that, because especially if you're young and you've got a new job and you're making a lot of money, and it's hard to stop at one. You know, one of each, a big one and a gasoline card, I would say, would be, stop there if you can. But it's not easy. Trust me, it's not easy. I mean, you ask any one of the clients that I've had that have had in excess of 50 credit cards to their name. They don't know how they got, oh, yeah, 50, yep. I think the average right now is, I think, 12 to 15 credit cards and $25,000 to $28,000 in debt per household, that's pretty spectacular.
Yes. What's a good amount of time to pay that off, that would you say? That's a healthy way to pay that off. How long would that take?
What scenario are you talking
about? If it
was
like $28,000, if you were in $28,000 of debt, what do you think would be a feasible amount of time to pay that off?
You could pay it off in 3 years, and a half years, something like that. If you do it properly, the most important thing to remember is when you're considering your bills, considering getting credit rather, is your living expenses. You have to live within a budget. There's no question about it. No matter who you are, no matter what your earning power is, you have to have a budget, a monthly budget that you live under. And as long as you do that, you'll know, look, I have this much available for discretionary debt, which is what credit cards are. And if you go beyond that, as soon as you go beyond that, that's when it starts snowballing, and you're in a big, big hurt at that point. So put together a monthly budget. What do you spend every month on living expenses, fixed expenses? And that's also in here, a typical budget. There are items in a budget that people don't even consider, but if you belong to a club or you have union dues or home maintenance fees or cable TV or your internet service provider, or, I mean, I have a bald head, so I shave, but beauty shop or barber shop and things like that, people don't take into consideration every penny. And if you write down everything that you spend in a 30-day period of time, start on the first of the month, go to the end of the month, and see what that adds up to, every time you reach into your pocket and spend some money, and you'll see that you have a lot less there than you thought as far as to pay discretionary debt. And that might be a shocking revelation for you, but it'll help prevent you from getting way, way deep into hock.
Yes, yes. If people want to find out more about you or follow your work, do you have a website or a link or something that the listeners can follow up on updates about you and your work?
No. I'm pretty accessible. I mean, I'm on Facebook, and I probably shouldn't have said that because bill collectors will be friend requesting me. Ha ha, not.
What are you doing? Get rid of that book.
I don't care about that. They don't frighten me. I'm here to help and do good. And one of the things that I've learned while I'm going to massage therapy school is, you know, the Hippocratic Oath is above all, do no harm. And I'm not doing any harm. I'm just trying to help people. So, you know, let the chips fall where they may, is what I'm saying. I do not have I have a personal website, but it's not updated, and it's just giving my history and my background. But if anybody needs my help, I actually put my, you're not going to believe this, but I actually put my cell phone number in my book.
Oh,
I haven't had anybody abuse it yet, so, you know, and I could tell you what page it's on, because I don't remember, but it's in there. I snuck it in there, and I thought, should I leave this? And I thought, yeah, why not? So I'm available. You can find me, benperry.com. I have an email there. Anything I can do to help, I'll do. That's my bottom line.
And listeners can also send myself an email at insightintohealing@gmail.com if you have any more questions for Ben. And I will definitely forward them to you. When your movie comes out, when do you think it'll be ready? Where do you think it's going to be shown? Because I know people are going to be lining up to watch this movie.
Thank you. Oh, I wish they were lining up to fund it. That's our biggest issue. We have 143 people right now that are on the that are in the cast and production team. We've got some amazing professionals, and we're just now waiting to get our funding. And once we do that, it'll be, well, usually from the time you start shooting to the time a film is released, and that's what we're doing. We're looking for theatrical release. I'd say it's a year from that time. So, but you know, we've been working on it for the last 3.5 years, and it's going to happen. We're going to make it happen. We've got some people that are so focused and dedicated. We've got the director of this film is Robert Conrad, the original Robert Conrad from Wild Wild West. I don't know if you remember, if you're old enough to remember him, but not the remake. So it goes back to the early 70s.
Wow, so that's impressive.
Yeah, you're not. You're way too young for that. I forgot.
Yes, I've heard of the Wild Wild West, but I can imagine it's from the 70s. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's way before your time. He's pushing 80 years old, and he's spent the last 18 years doing he's producing movies for Hallmark, and he's just been really active, and he's a great guy, and we've got our soundtrack composer is Antonio DiOrio. He's a young man, 32 years old, who did all the music for the Winter Olympic Games in the Vancouver Winter Olympic Games in 2010, and he's doing our soundtrack. Ron Vidor is our amazing cinematographer. He's our director of photography, and he's done almost 1,000 projects. He did all the underwater filming for the original Jaws, Stand By Me, Rocky III, Romancing the Stone, just so many. It's too many to mention. And he's our DP. So we've got some amazing folks on this. Leslie Ann Burns, who is our lead producer, who's remarkable and working her tail off every day. And just countless people. By the way, if people want to see the website, it's pretty highly interactive. It's called pastduefilm.com. No S at the end. And like us on Facebook, Past Due Film. On Facebook.
Definitely. Thank you so much. And Ben, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It's so educational and so incredible, you having this book and offering this type of educational help to people, because I think it's so well needed and really can help save so many people.
Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it. And this hour went by fast, didn't it?
Yes, it just flies by. At first people are like, an hour, wow. And I'm like, it just flies by. It's amazing. I would definitely love to have you back on the show again. And thank you for everything. And thank you so much for listening. And again,
well, it's my pleasure. And I hope next time maybe we can just take calls right off the top, because I don't want it to be all about me. I just want to help people and hear what their issues are. Maybe I can give some really specific information that will help them on the spot that way.
Yes. So next show, definitely, people want to call in. Tonight was a live show. Sometimes it takes people some courage to call in, but we would love to have them call in and ask questions. Please do. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, you can send me an email at insightintohealing@gmail.com. You can also like me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/insightintohealing. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. Have a good night, and God bless.